May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as we forge ahead in this season after the Epiphany, we continue diving into the person of Christ as revealed in the Gospels. And we catch up with Jesus just as he is calling his disciples to follow him. Now, this is 2 days after he was baptized by John the Baptist, and the day before he called Simon Peter and Andrew were called in St. John's text. Now, Jesus wastes no time in picking up disciples. He is gathering his flock, and then it seems he's even sheep stealing from John the Baptist. But we know that the old camel hair clad prophet was happy to diminish in order to pave the way for Christ. On another day, there's perhaps a lesson in this about us not wasting time in calling people to follow Jesus and then to get out of the way, to surrender our pride and our designs while Jesus does his work in those we've invited them to meet him for themselves. But in the immediate context preceding our gospel lesson, we see Jesus being revealed in some pretty big titles. In the verses before our passage today, John the Baptist calls Jesus the Lamb of God. Likewise, Andrew called Jesus the Messiah. And then today, Philip calls our Lord him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. And then hot on the heels of that, Nathanael, while eating crow after his snarky comment about whether anything could come out of Nazareth that's any good, well, that same skeptic is now convinced of Jesus as a rabbi, that he is the Son of God, and that he is the King of Israel. So as handily as St. John rattles these titles off in his account, let's not forget that each of these are pretty weighty terms. In Christ's day, even the word rabbi was no meager thing. Years of study and a proven lifestyle of holiness and devotion were a part of being recognized in that office of spiritual leadership. And then the term Son of God was long used in the wisdom literature, both inside the Old Testament canon and outside of it, as a description of someone who is particularly holy. The opposite of a son of Satan, if you will, who lived life ruled by their unchecked sinful appetites. So ostensibly, anyone who kept the law of God perfectly could be called a son of God, but good luck finding that person. Then there's the long-hoped-for Messiah, the coming deliverer variously alluded to throughout the law and the prophets, but as yet not arrived prior to Jesus. Even after the Maccabean revolt that overthrew the Seleucid remnants after Alexander the Great's empire some centuries before, no one called their leader, Judas Maccabeus, Messiah. There were pretenders, of course, both before and after Christ, but none except Jesus of Nazareth has continued to be regarded by that esteemed title, Messiah. And then, without precedent, we see John the Baptist applying the sacrificial term Lamb of God to Jesus. And as far as I can tell, Jesus is not exactly a sheep. But last week was the chance to dig into that title a little bit deeper when we marked our Lord's baptism. So suffice it to say, that title's a bit of foreshadowing for us later on for Holy Week. So in the bit that we read today in our gospel, Philip broadly sees Jesus as the fulfillment of all that the Old Testament scriptures have pointed to. From that comment, we could handily think of John Calvin's tidy little summary of Jesus as fulfilling the Old Testament offices of prophet, priest, and king. But maybe Philip, lacking words as he was very insistent on people to come and see, to encounter Jesus for themselves. Perhaps Philip had a more visceral idea. Everything the people of God have looked forward to from time immemorial is summed up in the person of Jesus Christ. All the hopes, all the dreams, all the agony of waiting, all the seasons of tears, invaders, backsliding, and repentance. Jesus makes sense of it all, plus the prophet, priest, and king bit. Then we come back to Nathanael and his scandalous pronouncement that Jesus is the King of Israel. Now remember, the Romans were still in power, and they would not countenance any king but Caesar. Besides, the next Herod that was in line there in Judea had the legal claim to that title under Roman rule, even though his bloodline wasn't Jewish in the slightest, let alone from King David. So Nathanael's exclamation is pretty radical. In fact, it would invite a bit of political intrigue into the mix that rabbi or Lamb of God never would. But at the end of the day, we see Jesus calling himself the Son of Man. Before then, Son of Man showed up as a phrase in prophets like Daniel or Ezekiel, a mysterious reference to a human figure in their visions, but not particularly fleshed out in terms of his identity. Commentators over the centuries have seen this as a kind of prophetic theophany, reading Jesus' reference to himself back into these texts in a way that neither prophet at the time would have originally have considered. But this is not the place or time to hash out the debate over how much New Testament hindsight we can legitimately bring into our reading of the Old Testament and its interpretation. The point to note is that Jesus changes this phrase, indeed all of these titles, in ways that make them uniquely about him. Jesus is the rabbi whose teaching not merely hearkens to the law, but carries heavenly authority in and of itself. Jesus is the Son of God with a capital S, who is not merely perfectly holy, but genuinely the only begotten of the Heavenly Father, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Jesus is the Messiah, the promised rescuer who defeats sin and death through his incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection. Jesus is the Lamb of God whose once for all self-offering to suffer and die paid the price for our sins and washed us clean in God's sight by his precious blood. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the scriptures pointed to, both the Word of God who helped make all things at the beginning of history, as well as the literal flesh and blood manifestation of all the ancient hopes that were once mere jots and tittles on the pages of the Old Testament. Jesus is the King of Israel, but whose reign is established in the human heart before any earthly throne, whose kingdom we pray would come to earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus himself wraps up all of these terms together in the title that he claims for himself, Son of Man. He's no longer some nebulous vision of end time hopes. Jesus, as the Son of Man, is the very manifestation of God's desire to reestablish his rightful claim over the beautiful earth that he created and the people that he made in his own image. Jesus is all we ever need for this life and the next. And that's a lot to take in. Who Jesus is as a whole is even too big a bite for our mental and spiritual stomachs to process in a few minutes during Holy Communion on a Sunday. Happily, John chapter 1 contains all seven of these references, so you can spend this week in this chapter alone and take in each title one a day: Rabbi, Son of God, Messiah, Lamb of God, fulfillment / word of God, King of Israel, Son of Man. These, of course, aren't the only references we have for Jesus, but each in its own way shines a light onto the person of Christ, his very nature. Great, Father Lenny, you've taught us a lot about Jesus' names. What about the practical application? Well, too often we get caught up in trying to drag some practical application from the Bible that we forget that those practices and those applications are meant to deepen our relationship with Jesus. But I know for a fact those moments of daydreaming that I've had about my beloved wife, Kelly, as much as that I've actually, it's been almost 2 decades that I've been having these daydreams. It's been nice. They have been eminently impractical, but they've helped me appreciate her for who she is. Love, as much as we need it, is not efficient. It's almost an indulgence. It's the kind of crazy that helps keep you sane. So I encourage you to fall in love with Jesus. Spend time meditating on these names, on who he is, as you see in each of these names, doing so as a sheer act of indulgence. Take one title a day and simply dwell on it throughout the day for all of its impractical wonder and joy. Let your heart go crazy for Jesus, and he'll reveal more of himself to you. He whose very nature is love. Let us pray. Rabbi, Son of God, Messiah, Lamb of God, Word of God, King of Israel, Son of Man, as we reflect upon who you are, Lord Jesus, the magnitude of it is overwhelming. Help us to truly come alive to your love for us by your indwelling Spirit, that we might show you our love in return. Stoke the flames of a deeper, more fervent devotion in us, and let our thoughts and lives be preoccupied with the wonder of who you are. Grant this in your most holy and precious name. Amen.